In Galatians chapter 5, then, where we pick up the narrative, Paul says in verse 7, ye did run well. So apparently there was a point in time where these people not only had it and knew it, they were running somewhere with it, and they were running well with it. Not unusual to see baby Christians run and stumble and fall down, and you have to pick them up and change a diaper and pat them on their little heads and say, oh, go again. But these folks were running well. Who, and here comes that issue that we saw earlier in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, who hath bewitched you? And Paul raises that issue with them in Galatians chapter 4. Here it shows up again. Who did hinder you? So we have a hinderer in place. Somebody is hindering these people's ability to run and run well. Who did hinder you? If I could know the who, I can pretty well know the what. I work on the premise that the person to whom I'm speaking doesn't understand the what, or they wouldn't be getting messed up in it. So I'm going to ask them the who. If somebody says, I'm a follower of, and they tell me who, I'll know some things that they, who told me the who, might not know. Yep. Well, I think John MacArthur is great. I might have heard that from a person who doesn't understand Calvinism, who doesn't understand textual criticism, who doesn't understand the concept that it's all symbolic and the literal aspects of it are irrelevant. But when you identify yourself as being a follower of John MacArthur, that's who you are.
Yes.
You may not embrace all his theology yet, but you identified yourself as a MacArthurite. So it's fair then for me to know some things about you. I know them about you today. 10 years from now, I know even more about you. You don't even know it yet.
That's it.
Because you don't know the direction you're headed in. Is under the leadership of a man who says that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean blood. It just means sacrifice. And his actual blood just went into the ground. I can find it, can I not, in Hebrews chapter 10, offered in a tabernacle made without hands.
Amen.
Apparently MacArthur can't find it. He has the gospel according to Jesus as one of his books. Well, which gospel would that be? So when a person says, oh, I love John MacArthur, I know a lot about them that they might not even know yet because they haven't matriculated into the system yet, but that's where they're going because they identify that.
Yes.
Paul wants to know who. I don't think Paul wants to know who so that he can put up a wanted poster and shoot somebody.
Yes.
If he knows who, he can know what. The people that have fallen into the trouble might not be smart enough to know what the what is. So who is the question? Now, we looked a little bit last time, and we thought we had some intelligent guesses as to who the who's might be. We'll see some more about that this time. The verse then, verse 7, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now the commentators say God called them, and most of those are going to be Calvinistic in their orientation, but we settled it in Galatians chapter 1 that Paul was the one that started them out.
Yes.
And he was the one that they've fallen away from. So I'm going to make this Paul as well. And when he makes the statement that this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, you moved on to another persuasion. You're headed somewhere where I would not go. When I hear people that maybe I've taught some things to, maybe they've studied under the Dispensational Bible Institute, and they say some things, and in private, I'll say to them, you didn't learn that from me. Yeah. I don't know where you got that. You didn't learn that from me, because I don't believe that. And here's where that belief goes.
Yes.
and I don't. So there is a persuasion. I'm a Bible-believing persuasion. To use an analogy, believing my Bible is the dog, the tail is dispensationalism. I don't wag my Bible with my dispensationalism. I learn my dispensationalism from my Bible.
That's it.
So I don't want to mix up which is which.
Amen.
The source of my dispensational authority is a book. If I didn't have the book, then we could believe anything we wanted to. It's important to recognize that the hindrance is different from blocking, tackling somebody and knocking them down, hitting them across the side of the head. It's just that little whisper, well, you know, maybe Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is a combination of verses 1 and 8. I mean, must you be so stringent? It's just a little whisper. It's just a little thing. But that little thing is just one of breadcrumbs that go to a certain nest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important to see that there is a race to run. Most of Christianity thinks there's a song to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And not a race to run. And you did run well. Who did hinder you? Somebody hindered them that they would not obey. It didn't come from Paul. And by the way, here is a principle in verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you liken leaven to yeast, you only need a little pinch or two, and it's sufficient for the bread that you're baking. Obedience, as it is mentioned in this verse, is not obedience to Paul or the law, but rather this business of the obedience of faith. Paul calls that to our attention in Romans chapter 16, the very next to last verse, verse 26, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, not the obedience of law, not the obedience of a performance system, but of faith. He says it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, for obedience to the faith among all nations. It's interesting that in Romans chapter 1, he talks about establishing them, and in Romans chapter 16, he talks about them being established. And the issue in Romans chapter 1 is obedience to faith, and the issue in Romans chapter 16 is obedience to faith. If you'd like to go from being established to being actually stabilized, it's going to be by being obedient to believing the material, and that'll take you a long ways. Take you further than a seminary. Now, these folks knew to run a race. I'm glad for that, at least. And Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about they which run a race all run well, but one receiveth the prize, and so run that ye may obtain. There's work to be done.
Yeah.
There are souls needing saved. There's reasons to engage. And so these people run their race, and they've got hindered. Paul talks about having fought the good fight and having finished his course. That would be a race.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the point where, and I've said this before, you've done all you can do, read that back. You've done all you can do. You finished the course. So, it's somebody else's turn. You are not God's answer to everything.
Amen.
Meanwhile, you're not here for nothing.
That's it.
God's purpose for something. And it's good that we find what that is and run that race. We're not here being taught obedience to Paul. We're not here being taught obedience to a system. The Galatians were already headed for a system. So he's talking about the issue of faith, which shows up in verse 5, which shows up in verse by the righteousness by faith, the hopes all a faith issue. Now, leaven is an item. It's an herb. It's an ingredient. And it's used pretty near from one end of the Bible to the other to teach a principle. And clearly, going by this verse at hand, you don't need much of it.
Right.
A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So you got a big lump and a little leaven. And that's all you need to have something that is pervasive through the whole lump. Now Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, said unto them, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So I've got specific flavors of leaven. I've got the Pharisaic and the Sadducees. Sadducees, it's easy to remember, they did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. So, they're the Sadducees. And the Pharisees, they were a big outfit. I've given you some things there in the notes. And largely, they were not Bible believers. They were allegorists. And it's an interesting thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. Paul says, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying, the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Then we weren't crazy to pick on Hymenaeus and Philetus as being who that is being dealt with here by Paul as to who would have hindered these people. When we put the who to it, when we know who they are, then we have a better job of understanding what the issues are. Jesus said, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they have leaven. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 11, how is it that you did not understand that I spake unto you not concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And they understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then when Paul uses leaven as an illustration, I'm going to suggest to you he didn't do it in a vacuum. Leaven had been mentioned. The Lord had mentioned leaven. Leaven was something back in the time of the Passover. So we would know what leaven was. We would know its attributes. We would know how pervasive it is, even a little bit of it. And we would know it is used as an illustration of something that's bad.
Yeah.
Something that's wrong. Actually, for the most part, when you bake and put the yeast in, that's a good thing. If you didn't, we wouldn't want to eat what came out. Be little hockey pucks instead of biscuits, right?
Yeah.
So you need the leaven. Leaven then could be used as a positive illustration. But we can't because the Bible doesn't.
Yeah.
Our authority for defining the term is going to be the Bible definition. And the Bible definition is to beware of it. So, we then are able to sort some things out when we learn a little bit about the Pharisees, and I gave you some things about the Sadducees there, the origin of their name and some of that kind of stuff, which is just fascinating, scintillating material. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they learned not to blaspheme. These would then appear to be the people who believed the scripture of the Old Testament, but misinterpreted, allegorized, and what you've got going on is leaven of the Pharisees, leaven of the Sadducees, and the Galatians are being hindered by it. So Paul, in dealing with the Galatians who are being hindered by the leaven of the Sadducees and Pharisees, the leaven of error, is dealing with Hebrew people that are messing up and going back to a system that now has been supplanted by the gospel of the grace of God and the church, which is his body. No wonder then, I'm parenthetical right now, no wonder then, Paul gave you so many references to the Old Testament and Abraham and all of that. That's who he's talking to. If he were talking about your heritage, it would be a different subject matter entirely. He's talking about these people and their heritage. So we shouldn't be blown off our horse by all the mentions of Abraham that we did the heavy lifting through in Galatians chapter 4. Now, last time, or time before last, when we postulated, it might have been these people, Alexander and Hymenaeus, that it might have been Alexander and Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith had done me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his words. Paul had a real issue with him.
Yeah.
And Hymenaeus are pretty good candidates. If I know that, then I know what they're doing. I'm not as sure as if I had a verse that explicitly said it. But I have a reasonable assurance that what the Galatians are hearing is allegorizing of the Bible, the question of the resurrection. Well, if I'm going to question the resurrection, I'd better be under the law, because there's nothing to supplant it. So there's things on the table here, and Paul is dealing with them. The truth about leaven is that it is a small thing. If, you know, Einstein says something that is just so nonsensical. Einstein says parallel lines meet in infinity. And they're not parallel.
It's a rhyme.
But his point is you reduce the molecules and you're doing it pretty soon. There's nothing left. So there. Which, again, is mind-blowing and I don't understand. But that's his statement. Parallel lines meet in infinity. I'm smarter than Einstein, right? I say, then parallel doesn't mean parallel. Then you redefine the language and you redefine the concept. If, these are squiggly lines here, but if you're an architect and you're to draw something that is a true 90 degree angle, and this one's 88, what's going to happen? Your house isn't going to come together right.
That's right.
And if it's a big house, by the time you get over here, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because a little deviance becomes huge when you go down the road some.
That's it.
Leaven. Little thing. Little deviance. But you keep walking down that path. Mm-hmm. And you're taking two steps forward, one step sideways, two steps forward, one step sideways, and you're getting further and further away from the plumb bob, the true line that you ought to be on.
That's it.
It's slight. Sometimes it seems, who cares? Unimportant. Whatever. When you install the leaven in the inner man, the outer man, that's the lump. Yeah. And that inner man is going to pervade the whole fella over time.
Yes.
Very few people go from pretty good, pretty straight, got most of it right, to bonkers overnight.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
It's gradual. But it certainly is as gradual, it's also certainly certain.
Yeah.
Leaven won't go away. Christ talks about purging the leaven. You purge the leaven, what do you do with the lump? I mean, you got to make a mess.
Yeah.
It's hard. So, certainly, it has its effect. And ultimately, the leaven changes everything.
Yes.
What looked like just a little bitty lump, a little bit of leaven in it, you stick it in the oven. Now, that leaven is expanded. It's in every aspect of the biscuit or the loaf of bread. It just is pervasive. Your number one defense against leaven is your King James Bible believe and allowing it to read the thoughts and intents of your heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah.
Gross error takes time. One of the ways to get engaged in gross error is to calcify around your leaven, which you do because either your income or your reputation depends on maintenance of the error. When they come to you and say, well, you can't teach what you're teaching and be a Baptist, and that'll cost you your job, and that'll cost you your parsonage, and you won't be able to go to all these different churches anymore, some boys take a deep breath. One fellow north of town said, Brother McLean, this dispensational stuff is great, but you wouldn't dare to teach it to anybody. He was pastoring a Baptist church. He knew he'd shut the place down.
Yeah.
When we were looking for a building, a Baptist church in Fairborn was down to six people. All six of them were predestined from before the foundation of the world to be there.
Yes.
Six Calvinist Baptists were there. They knew me for years through the bookstore, through Billy Mitchell meetings. They knew me for lots of reasons. Well, Brother McLean, why don't you come up here and run our church? I could have walked in there with 40, 50 people and had their church in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Any vote would have been their six predestined for all of us. I couldn't sleep nights, of course. I had to tell them, I'm not Baptist.
Yep.
Here's what I believe. Here's what I teach. I preached a couple messages of it, and then they really haven't spoken to me since. I cost myself a free church building. We could have had that thing in a heartbeat. Would have been wrong. Would have been devious. Would have been sneaky.
Shameful.
Would have been state of the art.
Yeah.
Would have been how it's done.
Yeah.
Well, when you compromise your sprinkling weapon, when you're interested in ministry over truth, in monetary over ministry, you're sprinkling leaven. Now, hardly anyone starts with gross error. They grow into it. Or maybe they just don't grow in truth.
Yeah.
In Mark chapter 13, in verse 32, you have the verse that Pastor Richard Jordan uses to say that Jesus was ignorant. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. From that, we're supposed to know that Christ didn't know the revelation of the mystery, although the verse has nothing to do with the revelation of the mystery. It has to do with the return of Christ for his kingdom. Who doesn't know? He takes the position of being the Son of Man. Verse 26, they shall see the Son of Man coming. The positional truth that he takes, verse 34, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. Does that tell me everything I need to know about Jesus? Or is there more?
Lots more.
But if I define him in his position as the Son of Man, then I define him without deity attributes, which is where Pastor Jordan puts him. If he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, if without him was not made anything that was made, if, as a matter of fact, John refers to him as the incarnate Word, then I can know some more things about him, and I don't define all there is to know about Christ by a verse that defines him by his humanity.
That's right.
There's more to him than his humanity, and he is in the position here as the Son. Is that all he is?
No.
Aren't the three one?
Yes.
Wasn't the mystery settled before the foundation of the world?
Amen.
Who was back there? So, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You take one little thing and then you just go bonkers with it. Now, this next one is just something that's it's a knucklehead statement because the guy didn't know any better. He hadn't learned the material.
That's it.
And this is Mark Moma. I heard him say this. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And he puts the promise on today's parents. So the commandments promise, by putting it on today's parents, means then we got a covenant going on. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. The promise was to the people under the law, which we're not.
That's right.
Go back and read Exodus 20. There's no promises after any of the commandments till you get to this one.
Yeah.
This is a historical reporting of the fact that this is the first commandment with a promise.
Yeah.
Back in the listing of the commandments.
Yeah.
He did not take today's parents and say, if your kids will honor you, there's a promise in it for you. But Mark Mumma taught it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. He's trying to be nice to the mommies and daddies. Trying to be nice to the kiddles in the auditorium, no doubt. What's he buying into? What's the little leaven? It's just, it must have been Mother's Day, or, you know, what's the little leaven? He bought into the covenant program. Now, he's got us in the tribulation.
Yeah.
Why ever not? If you get one of Israel's promises, why wouldn't you get others?
That's right.
Little leaven. He said it, and I said, oh, no.
Yeah.
People sitting there,
oh, yeah, that's nice.
No, it wasn't. Become discerning. Good night, Nelly. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you honestly believe that your being nice to your mommy guarantees you to live to be 100? Then you don't sit there and say, oh, that was good. It wasn't.
No.
And not only was it wrong on the microcosm level of the little bit of leaven, what's the leaven do? Now I've accepted a covenant teaching. Well, if that's okay, then this is okay.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 4, you know, I really dragged you kicking and screaming. How many times? Genesis 12, that's Abe and uncircumcision. Genesis 15:6, that's the subject verse. Faith counted for righteousness. Genesis 17, he gets circumcised. Genesis 22, that's what James talks about with Isaac. This, and this are different.
Amen, amen.
So when I'm reading about Abraham, heads up. So along comes David Dowell. He reads chapter 4, verse 1. He quits mid-acts. He's done. Stick a fork in it. He's done. Check out his website, magnifiedword.com. You never saw such a hootenanny in your life. Attacking the cunning royal jester on virtually every page. That's Charles Richard Jordan, is who that is. Cunning royal jester. Oh, fooled me. I never would have got that. He has quit after 30 years. He's kicked the traces. He's done with mid-acts Pauline. It's a lie. Joke. Means nothing. The little 11 verse that got him is that one. Now, when you're established, as we saw in Galatians chapter 4, we tough sledding with Abraham there in Galatians chapter 3 as well. But when we saw this, and we saw Genesis 15, verse 6, faith counted for righteousness. To James, it meant he did something by faith. To Paul, it meant he did nothing by faith. We're a little more mature in our understanding of the references to Abraham and the differences between Paul and James. We're actually capable then of seeing Abraham, father, because it's from him that comes Israel, from Israel comes the Lord, you know, and all of that business. And the issue is faith counted for righteousness. The 11 at the whole level. Solomon says, beware the little foxes.
Yes.
Spoil the vines. The leaven has another definition that the Lord gives it in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It's interesting. And I'm not happy about it. But I found a tremendous number of men who say they're King James men aren't.
Yeah.
And I found a lot of guys that claim to be mid-acts Pauline dispensational aren't.
Yeah.
As long as they're borrowing sermons from somebody that is, they are. But when they borrow somebody else's sermons, they're not.
Yeah.
And Mark Mohler's a good testimony on that.
Yes.
I found it on the internet where he got it. Right down to the song. You scratch them and you don't have much. There's no depth.
Yeah.
It would be nice if you could get saved on Monday, read your Bible on Tuesday, and be equipped to preach on Wednesday. But you're not.
True.
The fact that you can leapfrog any Baptist in town when you're Pauline, that's not enough.
No.
They're short. They're easy to leapfrog. Unless you're in their baptistry, they have to swim past them. If you're unskilled, maybe you don't recognize leaven, and I don't know if you understood. So maybe I'll say it again now when we go back 32 lessons ago. And I brought in 15 commentaries on Galatians.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to them for much more than where did I mess up? Have I got some leaven in here? Did I miss something obvious that I shouldn't have? Or have I got something that's trouble down the road and I need to get some help? So they have a function, those books. I think it's wise to be concerned that you're not embracing something that is a little bitty thing. That's 5 years later, has you totally messed up. The fellows that can't sort. I really sound like I'm patting myself on the back. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we've got Hebrews that are unsaved. We've got Hebrews that are saved into the little flock of Israel. We've got Hebrews that are saved into the body of Christ. We've got Gentiles that are unsaved. We've got Gentiles, like Cornelius, saved into the little flock of Israel. We've got Gentiles, like Paul, that are saved into the body of Christ. We've got a lot of players.
Yeah.
And if you don't distinguish between these players as you go through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you're going to end up in Acts 28 or get just messed up in some other way.
Yes.
Well, I think Paul was preaching three different gospels, says Scott Mitchell. And then he'll stand there and tell people to confess with their mouths. Pitiful.
Yes.
Pitiful. Why do we park on this stuff? Why do we emphasize this stuff? It's leaven purging.
Yes.
When I've said to you, I don't know how many times, and you say, why is he saying that again? When I say to you, everybody in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, get saved by grace through faith. The leaven I'm dealing with that is predestinarianism. I'm dealing with antinomianism. Concepts the audience might not even know. If you actually think somebody in the Old Testament could do works and God had to save them because they did the commandments, a lot of people believe that. You're going to go to heaven, you aren't keeping the commandments. Then you don't understand that it was always a faith issue.
Yes.
Grace people are real bad about thinking we're the only ones saved by faith. Really? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How'd Noah get by? He had faith to build a boat.
Right.
Faith did a work. Hebrews chapter 11.
That's right.
So, teaching, we don't get together to sing and to wave at the light bulbs. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Teaching puts in place the right doctrines that purge the leaven, that keep you steadfast and unmovable, not blown about by every wind of doctrine.
Yes.
Here come the Galatians, and they're wanting to justify themselves apparently by circumcision and honoring the feast. Remember that in Galatians chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 11? Paul thinks he wasted his time on them. Where's it going to end? Where does the leaven process stop? Well, you want to know? With Pastor Jordan, it will have Jesus ignorant all the way to today.
Yes. What he teaches.
And Jesus was ready to come back when Stephen is being stoned in Acts chapter 7. And Jesus is standing up. Why is he standing up? He hasn't been sitting down. He's standing up to come back. And Father God says, wait a minute, son.
There's something you don't know.
And that's what Pastor George, that's heresy of the first order.
Yes.
And the grace movement is foisting it on the unsuspecting flippant.
Yes.
Brother Mama has already embraced the tribulation. He's got covenants operating on people today. Paul, separated from his mother's womb, was the law. So we've got people separated from the law, and we've got people still operating with the law. We've got two programs running concurrently. Where's that going to end? That's going to end with a machine gun in a bunker in Waco, Texas, keeping the bad guys away.
Yep.
That's where that one ends.
Yep.
You say, well, he'll never do that. I didn't say he would. That's where that goes. David Koresh got there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did he get there? By having two programs run concurrently. Tribulation running concurrently. We best conquer in a bunker. They're bad people. Get a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Bang, bang.
Yeah.
That's where that goes. He doesn't know it. The fact that he doesn't know it, I'm not impressed.
No.
I'm never very impressed by what people don't know.
No.
That's the truth, isn't it? That's like saying, I found it the last place I looked. You quit looking after you found it. You always find it the last place you looked. I'm never impressed by what people don't know. Another brother who's vacated mid-ass already. I can't tell you if Steve Atwood, I can't tell you if these guys are saved. Because their presentation of the gospel is that flawed.
Yes.
That's scary.
Yes,
that's
it.
A shame. That's pitiful. Now, heads up. The devil does not ride in on his horse in Revelation chapter 6 wearing his red union suit with his trident and his tail sticking up.
Yes.
He sneaks in.
Yes.
Were I to offer you the New Testament in Klingon, the warrior language of the universe.
Yes.
And you would have the opportunity to converse. There's no smoking in Klingon. To converse with the Klingons.
Ooh.
And the warrior race of the... You pretty well know that's silly. That's not Bible. But when it's New Schofield.
Ooh.
$100.
Ooh.
Leather. Top grain. Genuine. Scholarship. Schofield. Are they important?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. And what's it say in the front about it? It says, authorized King James Version.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I'm good to go. Now, the leaven is such word changes in the text as will help the reader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who decided what's helpful? Hmm? Such word changes in the text as will help the reader. Says Schofield, says King James. Leaven.
Yes.
See, this one would fool you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This one wouldn't.
That's it.
This one, well, preacher said Scorpio's good. This one's new. It says new right on it.
Ooh.
It says King James right there. Doesn't it say authorized King James Version? Well, what's your complaint? It has over 4,000 changes in the text. And it has notes which tell you the Bible has mistakes in it, which is nice, huh? Leaven. If you're going to fool people, you won't do it with the New Testament for the warrior race of the universe. It's, they looked at the movies. They parsed out a Klingon language based on what was in the movies. And so, what these people have done is translate portions of Matthew into Klingon. And there it is. So it's a little hard to read. You wouldn't fall for that.
No.
This. Mm-hmm. A lot of people fall for the new Scopey.
Yeah.
And they're all have a problem.
Yeah.
So, what we need to do as we study is that business of the old Vidalia onion with its many layers. She might teach the munchkins what leaven is and what it does, and that would be an outer layer skin of the onion. Why would she do that? So she could go on to the next point and say, a little leaven, a little bad, a little sin, a little wrong makes a big mess. You and I then can let the Lord, in the adult class, identify for us the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and that it breeds hypocrisy. We could read in Galatians then, Paul warns them about leaven. He wants to know who. The who, if it's leaven, were Sadducees and Pharisees, what are their doctrines? Now I know, because I know who, I know the what. So, I've skinned the onion several layers, and as a result of that, I'm able to surmise, maybe the better word is, discern some things that weren't blatantly written on the page. Mm-hmm. When they're blatantly written on the page, I'll preach them and teach them blatantly. When I'm discerning them, then I use them for discernment.
Yeah.
See the difference?
Yes.
In my personal application, your personal application. So, the truth is, we all get hindered from one time or another. We all slip, we all trip up. You pick yourself up and you press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Paul was hindered by the devil. He tells us about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. He tells us about hindrance in Romans chapter 15, verse 22. And what we learn from that is he operated in spite of the circumstances, regardless of the circumstances, not led by the circumstances. He wasn't reactionary to what went on around him. He pressed on with pure doctrine, right doctrine, regardless of whether the audience gave him hooray or boo. He pressed on. If we give in to the hindrance, we become quitters.
Yes.
I can blame the guy that hindered me to a point. Mm-hmm. But pretty soon, the problem's me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because all he did was hinder me. He didn't destroy me. He didn't knock me down. All he did, it was just a hindrance. If I can't shake that off, I need some strengthening.
Yes.
I need some building up. So I choose not to submit to it. I choose not to be one that says everybody does it. I choose not to be one that says what's the use. The one that preachers get away with is, well, nobody noticed.
Yeah.
To a degree, shame on the audience, but certainly shame on the preacher.
Yes.
Doctrinal integrity. Wow. That's the whole focus of this book of Galatians.
Yes.
I wonder what was the little thing that got him missed. What was the leaven? See, they came to this circumcised. They came out of the Hebrew faith.
Yeah.
What's the one thing Paul picks out and says, I think I'll waste my time on you people? Holy Week. It's the celebration of holidays.
Yeah.
There's the litmus test. Just so far, that's what we found. Galatians chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 11. I learned something from that. And so I use it in my discernment. People adamantly defending the hanging of the greens and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a free country. Cups up.
Yeah.
But I know something about you.
Yeah.
By the way, if I come to the worst possible example, you're not really married to the grace message very much. Mm-hmm. We may not even see you there down the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So David Dow, after 30 years, quits. Mm-hmm. 11 was in there, people.
Oh, yes.
11 was in there.
Yes.
30 years ago, 29 years ago, 28, 11 was in there. Go step. Amen.